Blog Talk Radio.
This is Merle with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. It's a bright and sunny day here in New York City, in Queens. Tonight is the opening of the USTA Tennis Open. Yes, it's the Tennis Open that's going to be happening over at the Billie Jean King Tennis Stadium. And which later I will be going to. But in the meantime, today we're going to talk about mushrooms, or as they call it, shrooms. Well, Jim Angelucci, he knows all about mushrooms. Well, especially the ones that are grown at Phillips Mushroom Farms in the Kennett Square area of Pennsylvania. Now, if you thought that those button mushrooms or the portobellos are the only kind, just wait until you hear about the variety and flavors. Maybe we can even get some cooking tips. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call him. Dialing, it's dialing now. Oh, yeah. Red carpet, too, tonight.
Good afternoon, Phillips. This is Bill.
Hello. Bill, Jim. Where's Jim?
Jim is on the phone, I think. Can I tell him who's calling?
Well, it's Merle, and he's on the air. And you're on the air.
I'm on the air right now? Okay, great. Can I ask you to hold on for 1 second while he's expecting
certainly.
Your call?
I'll throw on a commercial while we're doing it.
Okay, good idea. Okay, hold on, please.
In scenic Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
What would you do to earn brownie points?
For more information about our farm and our products,
visit
our website at www..
Hello?
Yes, Jim?
Yes.
It's Merle. Exit.
How are you, Merle?
Okay, you're on the air.
Oh, all right. Am I? Are I?
Yeah. Huh?
I'm sorry. How are you?
Okay. Did
Good.
You forget that I was calling you?
No, I didn't forget. I was sitting at my desk and, you rang into the main office, so I don't answer the phone.
Ah, okay. Well, that was the phone number that I got.
Yeah,
okay.
It is, but, yeah, so.
Okay, anyway, so we want to talk about shrooms, as they call them. I understand the festival's coming up. When is that coming, like in 2 weeks?
That's correct. The 29th annual National Mushroom Festival is being held September 5th, 6th, and 7th, starting with a parade Friday evening, going through Saturday and all day Sunday. And the vendors are sold out. There's a mushroom eating contest. There's an amateur cooks contest for appetizers. And it's just there's an exhibit that shows how mushrooms are grown. And the area growers volunteer to explain the process to the visitors. So it's really a fun time.
I bet, and I got the shrooms. And what I want to do is I want to talk about the variety that you have. I'll find out. I think the company Levi Restaurants Associates is in charge of all the foods at the U.S. Open. So I'm not sure whether it's one particular I think that it might be one particular restaurant that I saw announced in their mm-hmm. media alert that
okay.
says Phillips Mushrooms. I went, wow, I know who they are.
Great. Yeah, we don't do any direct store delivery, so they're getting from one of the purveyors that we do sell to.
Okay.
In the New York area, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's great. I mean, you can't get any better and better free press than that.
That's true. So let's go through the mushrooms that you have, and like how each differs from the next one.
Okay. Well, here at Phillips, we grow 7 different varieties. Actually, the biggest one that we grow now is the common white button mushroom, which we stopped growing for 20 years when we specialized only in exotic mushrooms. And we also grow the white mushroom's cousin, the Cremini and Portobello. And actually, they are the exact same genus and species. The only difference is the strain. Brown mushrooms have a better texture, a heartier flavor, and they seem to hold up a little bit better cooking. But they are grown in the same fashion, using the same substrate. The crop from beginning to end takes anywhere from 8 weeks to 10 weeks, depending on the size of the farm. And we have everything from 7 to 10 weeks here at our facility. The standard growing rooms are about 8,000 square feet. And in the 22 or 23 days that we actually harvest the mushroom out of those facilities, an 8,000-square-foot room will pick generally between 56 and 72,000 pounds of mushrooms.
Wow.
Every mushroom is harvested by hand, and a mushroom will double in size in 24 hours. So our harvesters are experienced to know that when the mushrooms are ready to be harvested so that they don't over-mature, if you will.
Right.
So we do both of those here. We have a very large state-of-the-art farm in Warwick, Maryland, which is about 40 miles from Kennett. That's on an 8-week schedule, and there's 480,000 square feet at that facility. So
wow.
The white agaricus mushroom is the one that we produce the most, followed by the brown mushroom. The first exotic variety or specialty mushroom, if you will, is the shiitake. And in 1979, we were the first commercial farm in the United States to grow shiitake year-round for the fresh market. That uses a wood sawdust substrate that has millet and wheat bran added to it. It's pasteurized. It's put into a plastic medical device bag. And it takes about 6 weeks to be able to get the mushrooms to start to harvest. And then what we do is we harvest the first flush or break, and that will last 3 to 4 days. And then we hydrate the log by submerging in water. And about 15 days, there we'll pick the second flush. So we pick 3 flushes off of that. And the same with the white and brown mushrooms. We pick 3 flushes. Usually on all the varieties, the first flush is the largest size, the best quality, and the largest quantity because we have all the nutrients to support the growth of the mushrooms. And as the crop gets a little older and the nutrients start to deplete, the amount of mushrooms that we harvest are less. We've been certified organic here at our Pennsylvania farm since 1997, and everything that we use here is recycled back into some type of agricultural byproduct, would be a soil amendment or a potting soil. In 1982, we started growing oyster mushrooms. They are grown on a pasteurized cottonseed substrate. The material is placed into a large plastic bag that has holes scored in it to control the amount of production. And at about 15 days after it's filled, the mushrooms will start to fruit, and then we will pick the first break on those about 10 days after the pins appear. We'll pick the first flush, and about 15 days later, we'll pick the second flush, and again, the third flush is 15 days later. Shiitake log that looks like a loaf of bread. It weighs anywhere between 5 and 7 pounds. We will harvest between 1.75 pounds and 2 pounds of mushrooms off of that. oyster mushrooms, which are sort of unique because they actually come in colors. We grow three different, they're all the same genus but different species. So we grow three different colors here. We grow brown, gray, and yellow. The only problem is that when you cook them, and you should, they all turn the same color. And they probably have the shortest shelf life of any mushroom that we grow. And then the other varieties that are grown on the same substrate as shiitake are the pom-pom. It's also called lion's mane and monkey's head, old man's beard. There's a number of different common names for it.
Yeah.
That takes about 23 days to grow. We have the log. It's in a plastic bag. And we punch a hole in it using a wooden dowel or a number of holes, and then the mushrooms will fruit from those holes. Another variety is called the King Oyster. We've trademarked the name Royal Trumpet. It's the only mushroom that really is grown for its stem. The cap is very small, but the stem is very large, long, and round, has a very unique texture. It's dense, and it holds up well to cooking. And my favorite is called the maitake. It's also called hen of the woods. And the pom-pom, the orange, or the king oyster, and the maitake are all one fruiting species. So we'll pick, although we pick a number of fruiting bodies off of both the king oyster and the pom-pom, with the maitake we only pick one fruiting body. And it takes almost 90 days to get to that point. So we pick one and it's done. All mushrooms are very highly prized for their nutraceutical qualities. We've learned so much in the last few years about the medicinal benefits of mushrooms. For instance, did you know that mushrooms are the only fresh fruit or vegetable on the supermarket shelf that has naturally occurring vitamin D?
No.
And there is a deficiency in vitamin D. You know, people used to think that vitamin D was only to stop rickets. Every receptor in the body has every organ in the body has a vitamin D receptor. So everything from coronary artery disease to inflammation to arthritis, all of these things are related to a deficiency in vitamin D. And the interesting thing is the mushrooms contain the same compound as the human body. It's called ergothioneine. And when it's exposed to either sunlight or UV light, it converts ergothioneine into vitamin D. So with a very brief exposure to a UV light, similar to someone going to a tanning bed, you can get the mushroom so it has 800 times the RDA of vitamin D. So, you know, that's unique.
One of the things I want to ask you, okay, in terms of the variety, do they all have different flavors?
They do. They do have different flavors. However, usually a mushroom will absorb the flavor of what you're cooking it with. You know, a white button mushroom has a sort of a smoky flavor, and the portobello is a meat substitute. There's no question. So much so that one day I had one of our banking officials in here, and everyone that comes in, I wanted to send her away with some mushrooms, and I said, how about taking a pack of portobellos? She says, no, thank you. I said, don't you like them? She said, they taste too much like meat. So I said, you know, can I use that? That's great, yeah. So they are all used for different dishes. The great things about mushrooms is that you can interchange any variety in a recipe and end up with the same result. They're also very unique in that there are very few vegetables, and I know I take liberty at calling it a vegetable, but we grow them, so I don't care. It's the only thing you can think of, really, that you can have for every meal. You can have them in an omelet for breakfast, on a salad for lunch, with a steak in the evening, on your pizza as a snack. Here in Kenya, you can actually have a martini that has a marinated mushroom in it instead of an olive. So the uses of mushrooms are limited only by your imagination.
Now, the maitake, I understand, because I saw something on there saying to use just like as a side dish.
The maitake, that's probably the only mushroom that I don't cook with anything else because it has such a unique flavor. And I don't try to overpower it. All the other mushrooms, I'm Italian, so I use what I call the Italian Holy Trinity, which is olive oil, garlic, and Chianti. But with the maitake, I just use a little bit of olive oil, salt and pepper, maybe a little bit of butter, but I don't try to overpower it with anything else because it has such a unique flavor. And the maitake is really highly prized for its medicinal benefits. It contains beta-glucan and polysaccharides that are instrumental in fighting cancer. As a matter of fact, there is a physician in Boston, who makes an elixir, a soup, using maitake mushrooms and a couple other varieties, and he feeds it to his cancer patients. So it may not be the be-all to end-all, but it certainly helps. It's my take on that is it'd be like going to church. It may not help, but it sure the heck isn't going to hurt. So, you know, most of these mushrooms, and we're, again, finding out so many different things about why these mushrooms are great. People used to like mushrooms because of what they didn't contain. They don't contain fat. They don't contain cholesterol. They don't contain sodium. Now we're finding out what they do contain: riboflavin, thiamine, niacin, vitamin D, selenium, which is an essential mineral for good prostate health. So, you know, not only is it something that is extremely versatile, it's also good for you.
One of the things that I want to, before you give me a couple of, like, maybe recipes, I want to get clear to people that in terms of when you have mushrooms, if you're getting from your place, it's not dirt like they're grown in the ground, and you see dirt, and you got to scrub it. Am I correct?
That is correct. You're referring to more of the white and brown mushrooms. Those mushrooms are grown on a substrate that's made from a number of different agricultural byproducts, and it's pasteurized to 185 degrees, so any potential human pathogens in that material is eliminated. As a water reservoir, we put 2 inches of peat moss on the surface that has the pH adjusted to about 8. So what you see actually is not compost, it's peat moss. And it's very easy to clean. And people say you shouldn't soak mushrooms. You can just use a damp paper towel or a mushroom brush, and that's true. But because I'm always in a hurry, I just throw my mushrooms in a small colander, rinse them very quickly under cold water, and use them right away. So if you don't soak them, you're not going to dilute the flavor of them.
If you don't see this on, say like the pom-poms,
mm-hmm.
do you still need to wash them?
No. And you shouldn't, and you know, you really don't have to wash any mushroom. A pom-pom, where it attaches to the log, there may be a small spot of sawdust. The same with shiitake and actually all the other varieties, maitake, shiitake, royal trumpet, and a pom-pom all grow on a sawdust substrate. So there may be some of that growing material left on the bottom of the fruiting body when it's harvested. So all you need to do is just trim that off.
Okay. Now, in terms of, is it okay to mix the mushrooms of any of them, or is there particular ones that really don't mix well?
No, they all pretty much mix. Again, you can make sort of a mushroom melange by using different varieties, but what you want to be careful of is the cooking time, preparation time. The oyster mushrooms will cook the fastest, and the shiitake take the longest. So you want to make sure that, you know, if you're going to do that, you want to start with the shiitake and then add the other mushrooms as the cooking process moves on, so you don't end up overcooking some of them and undercooking other ones. The best thing too is, you know, the way to store mushrooms is ideally in a paper bag. More importantly, in the refrigerator. A mushroom will lose 1 day of shelf life for every hour it is at 72 degrees. So the normal household refrigerator is at 40 degrees. So the best thing to do is get them to the refrigerator as soon as possible, And our mushroom grower friends to the north, the Canadians, have a saying, keep them cold and get them sold. So unfortunately, growers lose control over the distribution cold chain. So while we go to great lengths here to maintain the temperature of the mushroom, as a matter of fact, we even, before they're packaged, we put them into what's called a vacuum cooler. Because the mushroom is harvested, it's the same temperature as the growing environment, which could be in the mid-70s. Within 25 minutes, the middle of the mushroom is down to 34 degrees. Our packing room is held at 50 degrees. They're shipped on trucks that are 34 degrees. Then they end up in a grocery store warehouse, and they sit out on the dock when it's 90 degrees for 3 or 4 hours until they find room for them. So, you know, it's important to make sure that you store them properly.
Now, can people go on your website and order them, like your home?
We have a retail store. It's called The Woodlands at Phillips, and there is an order blank on there. This kind of weather on the East Coast, when it's 90 degrees, it's kind of tough to ship fresh mushrooms. But during the winter, it certainly is feasible to do that. And they have all the varieties available there, plus mushroom gifts and some processed mushrooms, some jars of marinated and pickled. And if anyone is in the area for the festival, they should stop by the Woodlands. It's in a 1828 converted rebuilt farmhouse. And we actually have now, since you've been there, a small growing exhibit, so people will actually be able to see some of the mushrooms that we grow in their actual production state, plus videos and other information about the industry and the history of mushrooms in Kennett Square.
Yeah, by the way, during the festival, are people going to actually dress up as mushrooms? Do they do that?
There's one. Yeah, there is a mushroom costume, and it gets used during the festival and for other activities too. So there is a mushroom, and there's also a thing that's actually it's a byproduct of the Mushroom Council, and it's actually called the Mushroom. It's a big inflatable mushroom that you walk into, and it has there's some information about the mushroom industry and the nutritional benefits of mushrooms. That will also be here at the festival this year.
That's so cool. And by the way, are all the vendors there? I mean, are they, all cooking something with mushrooms?
No, not all of them. I mean, there's Spanish food, there's Italian food. Some of them have mushrooms in it. There's some... tents that do nothing but, or some of the vendors that do nothing but cook mushrooms. I know one is talking about doing a portobello lollipop, so that should be interesting. But there's certainly there are fresh mushrooms to buy. There's certainly a lot of places in town to get mushroom dishes. Within a block and a half in Kennett, there are 9 different restaurants, and they all feature mushrooms. So if you're a fungophile, Kennett's the place to be the first weekend in September.
Actually, I heard or read something to the effect that not all mushrooms are fungi.
Well, that's true. That's true. For instance, a truffle is not, it's more of a potato, it's more of a tuber than it is a Basidiomyces. So it's not really a fungus. Even though it is a fungus, it's more like a potato than it is a mushroom. And what you saw when you were here, and people will be able to see when they go either to the growing exhibit at the festival or come to the Woodlands, is that this white thread-like material is actually the mushroom fungus, similar to what if you're going to compost leaves in your backyard and you put them there in the fall and you go back in the spring and there's this white material all over them, that's a fungus. So the actual mushroom fungus is this white thread-like material that's called mycelium. What we eat is the fruiting body of the fungus. So you're not really eating the actual fungus. You're eating the fruiting body of the fungus.
Ah, okay. That's good to know. Yeah, and in terms of the festival, are you, I mean, should I make an assumption that all of these places are using mushrooms from your place?
No, no, unfortunately. There are, you know, within 25 miles of Kennett right now, there are about 65 different mushroom farms.
Oh,
if you go back to the 1970s, there were over 300, mostly small, family-owned, but not the size of, we're about the third largest in Chester County. There are two other farms that are larger. And then in Berks County, there's one very large farm. And according to USDA statistics that just came out this month, Pennsylvania produces 68% of the mushrooms in the United States.
Wow.
And that the value of the crop, again, was over $1 billion. The white mushrooms account for about 62% of mushrooms sold. Brown mushrooms are about 30%, and then the specialty mushrooms make up only about 7.5% of the total mushrooms that are sold in the United States.
Are you like one of the only ones in that area that has the specialty mushrooms?
Not any longer. We started again, like in 1979, we started growing specialty mushrooms. And we kept working on it, doing oyster mushrooms in 1982. In 1985, we're the first farm in the country to put portobello on the market. We forged relationships with every major mushroom company in the country that they grew regular white mushrooms. We supplied them with all the exotic mushrooms. And as the category started to expand, they realized that it wasn't just a flash in the pan, that they needed to be able to grow their own. So we actually stopped growing white mushrooms here completely in 1989, continued to market them until 93, and focused only on exotic mushrooms. 20 years later, in 2009, we were approached by one of our customers to supply their warehouse that we were supplying specialty mushrooms to with white mushrooms. So we made the decision, actually we were making the decision at the time, it was coincidental, to build these new farms in Maryland. So if anybody's interested, there's a 4.5-minute video on YouTube, and if you search Warwick, Warwick, mushroom farms, it'll show this these new facilities that we built starting in 2009.
Oh, that's, yeah, one, I guess that's one, unless you're doing hothouse plants, I guess, or hothouse fruits and vegetables, this is the only, if you want to call it, crop of fruit that you don't have to worry about the season. Am I correct? Because it's all
indoors?
That's correct.
Mushrooms are, yep, we produce mushrooms 24/7, 365. Unless it's a leap year, then it's 366. But mushrooms don't know the difference between, you know, August 25th and December 25th. So we work every day of the year. So that we can provide not only us, but every farm in the country so that they can provide good quality mushrooms to customers all over the country.
That's fabulous. So the site that people should go to is not your, is the store site,
Well, actually, there is a link at our site. So if you go to phillipsmushroomfarms.com, there is a link to the Woodlands. There's also a video on there about the Warwick Farm. So www.phillipsmushroomfarms.com, you'll be able to find those other links.
Well, Jim, it was great having you on the show, and a lot of great information. I'll be cooking stuff up and writing up more in my blog and Facebook about what I'm eating, and I'll probably call you and say, should I do this with this?
Well, you know, I'm not a gourmet chef, but, you know, there certainly are plenty around the country that have very unique mushroom dishes. And, again, The use of mushrooms is limited only by your imagination, so you can use them anywhere. A little tough to eat on cornflakes, I have to admit that, but they're great in an omelet.
Okay. Well, again, thanks so much for talking with us.
You're welcome, Merle.
And I'm
it's
going
been a pleasure.
To enjoy. By the way, I have been eating the mushrooms with every meal.
Great. Wow, that's what we need.
All right, have a great day.
You too, Merle. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, and we're going to end our show. Have a great day, evening, afternoon, and perhaps I'll talk about USDA.